Lord Jesus, we come before Thee with thankfulness for this afternoon that we had to come together to be around Thy holy word. We pause before we open Thy word to ask for a blessing from Thee, that Thou, Lord Jesus, would be our teacher, that our thoughts would be centered upon Thee. Thou, as we have just sung, who art the Holy One, that Thou would speak to our hearts and bring us, O Lord, into the kingdom where we give ourselves unto Thee, and Thou, Lord, dost reign supreme as our King. We pray for a blessing as we come together, and we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. There was with the Lord's help, a desire that we would read together from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter number 4, the first 11 verses. The Gospel of Matthew, chapter number 4, the first 11 verses. Люба знежелим да се прочита Евангелие по Матеју, четврта глава, први 11 бројева. Actually, I'd like to start at the 13th verse of the previous chapter, where it tells us, continues in the beginning here. So the 13th verse says, Then cometh Jesus from Galilee to Jordan unto John to be baptized of him. But John forbade him, saying, I have need to be baptized of thee, and comest thou to me? And Jesus answering said unto him, Suffer it to be so, for thus it becometh us to fulfill all righteousness. Then he suffered him. And Jesus, when he was baptized, went up straightway out of the water, and lo, the heavens were opened unto him. And he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and lighting upon him. And lo, a voice from heaven saying, This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Then was Jesus led up of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, he was afterward and hungered. And when the tempter came to him, he said, If thou be the Son of God, command that these stones be made bread. But he answered and said, It is written, Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Then the devil taketh him up into the holy city, and setteth him on a pinnacle of the temple, and said unto him, If thou be the Son of God, Cast thyself down, for it is written, He shall give His angels charge concerning thee. And in their hands they shall bear thee up, lest at any time thou dash thy foot against the stone. Jesus said unto him, It is written again, Thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. Again the devil taketh him up into an exceeding high mountain, and showeth him all the kingdoms of the world, and the glory of them, and saith unto him, All these things will I give thee, if thou wilt fall down and worship me. Then said Jesus unto him, Get thee hence, Satan, for it is written, Thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. Then the devil leaveth him, and behold, angels came and ministered unto him. May God bless our...
Our gracious God, our Father in heaven, we come before Thee upon bended knee this afternoon, again in prayer, Lord, unto Thee in this day, thanking Thee that we have this opportunity to come together as a body of believers to implore Thee and to make our supplications made known unto Thee. Father, we just thank Thee, Lord, for who Thou art. Lord, Thou art that Holy One who abides and lives forever, and it is before Thee that we do bow and worship in spirit and in truth. We lift up Thy name. We glorify Thee for all that Thou hast done. Father, our limited minds cannot fully understand all the things that Thou hast done and dost continue to do, and how Thou dost live and abide forever. We cannot fully understand that. And Father, we know that by Thy grace, someday we will be with Thee in forever and eternity. and we will laud thy name for all eternity. We will glorify thee. And perhaps, Father, we will come to a fuller revelation of all the things that thou hast done and the love that thou hast had for us. And it will be, Lord, truly worth it, Father, that we would, and admirable, Lord, that we would praise thee throughout all eternity. And so, Father, we just lift up thy name and glorify thee, Lord, even as the Lord Jesus, Lord, as he was tempted, Lord, that he has told the devil that we are to worship the Lord God and none other. And so, Father, it is before thee that we come worshiping. We give thee thanks, Father, for all that thou hast given unto us. We give thee thanks for answered prayer. Lord, where we have made our supplications and requests known unto thee in times past, Father, and that thou hast in thine own way and in thine own time answered those prayers, we give thee thanks. We thank thee that thou hast watched over us and has cared for us and has provided for us in such an abundant measure. Father, we give thee thanks for these things. Lord, we pray thee that we would continue to rely upon thee, even for the simplest things of our daily bread. Father, we know that when the Lord Jesus Christ was tempted in the wilderness, that he fasted for 40 days. Father, all of us come kneeling before thee with our bellies full, Lord, and we just pray thee that we would, Lord, by thy grace, have the grace to pay attention and to take heed to what thy word would speak to us, Lord, even though our bodies would be tempted to lay in slumber. Father, we just pray thee, O God, that we would have attentive ears and minds to absorb what thy word would have for us. And so we would pray for our brother now as he would deliver a message to us inspired by the Holy Spirit. Father, may we take heed and may we listen to what thy Spirit would speak to our hearts. May it be a message that is meaningful, a message that is relevant, that we can walk thereby. Lord, that we would lead victorious lives over sin. Father, for all of us are tempted, and sometimes, Lord, we see that Satan comes to us even in an extreme measure sometimes to tempt us, even as he did to the Lord Jesus. And so we just pray for grace to heed the message, Lord, that we would take heed to what thy Spirit would speak to us, that we would overcome the temptations that the devil would bring our way. Bless us one and all. We love thee and thank thee. Pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Dear ones, the chapter that is before us speaks of a temptation of our Lord Jesus. And we might think, how can Jesus, who is God, be tempted with evil when it clearly tells us that God cannot be tempted? But we also have to realize that Jesus was fully man also. And here he speaks of a temptation. Matthew, the writer here, speaks of a temptation that took place after the baptism of Jesus, and tells us that the Spirit of God drove him. The Spirit of God drove him to go into the wilderness, a wilderness that was uninhabitable, a wilderness that was in, I think it's in Mark, it tells us that he was there with the wild beasts. In Luke, it tells us that he was tempted the entire 40 days and 40 nights. And now from what I understand, I've never fasted 30 and 40 days, but they say that is when it is the hardest. The wave comes at that moment, and it is the hardest. And that is when Satan comes to him in person to tempt him. I thought about temptations. Last night in a prayer, a brother led us in prayer, and he said what we all know. Every one of us have experienced that the fiery darts of the devil have gone through our armor. We have been hit by the enemy, Satan. And that is not to say, well, At least we can admit it. No. Why? Why did we allow? Why did I allow myself to put down the shield of faith, a critical armor, so that the arrows of temptation would go through to penetrate me? That's not a small matter. That's a matter of death. That's a life and death matter. When we lay down the armor of God, with it, it is, the armor of God is impenetrable. Cannot get through. Satan cannot come through to us unless I, by choice, lay down the armor, lay down the sword, lay down the helmet, and then I am open game. And the arrows of temptation, they're fiery darts, and they're well aimed. And they know exactly when, how, where to hit. Blame it on the devil. He shot the arrow. But we take the arrow. We take the arrow, and it is through that that we lose our life. And so, Jesus Christ himself, it tells us, is driven by the Spirit of God into an uninhabitable area. And he's there for 40 days and 40 nights, tempted the entire time with the wild beasts, hungry now because he was fully man. And Satan comes to him, the tempter, to test Jesus. It tells us that Abraham was also tempted or tested by God himself. You see, when I make a claim, when I make a claim that I am a child of God, I am a Christian, in order for that to be seen, we read this morning words that are so important for us. Words that we need to dwell on and think about. Those things that must be affirmed all the time. That if you are a child of God, you must have good works. Because it is that that testifies of who you are. And Jesus Christ is being tempted here. He's being tested. And the tempter comes and he says, If thou be the Son of God. This is how he began his temptation. And dear ones, he ended. In the beginning of the ministry of Jesus, we see it right here, unfolding before us. Jesus was baptized. Jesus is driven into the wilderness. The enemy comes to him and says, "If thou be the Son of God, prove who you are. Show me." Jesus Christ, on the cross, at the end of his ministry, "If thou be the Son of God," the same words come down from the cross. Save yourself. He saved others. Let him come down from the cross and we will believe him. Is the temptation there to say, "I'll come down from the cross"? Because when I come down from the cross, you'll believe. You said you're going to believe. I'll show you who I am. You see, dear ones, just like here in the beginning, Jesus could have very easily have made, as it says here, continuing, "command that these stones be made bread." We know that Jesus is able to do that. He fed 5,000 people with a few loaves of bread and fishes on more than one occasion. He's very capable. He can do this. But he is being asked here to do something that is outside of the will of God. Thy will be done. Jesus taught me and you to pray, Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Not my will, Thy will. This would have been outside of the will of God. He came and he tempted him. Just like the same way that Eve was tempted, except let's look at the difference. Eve is tempted in the garden. Eve is tempted in the garden. Jesus isn't in the garden. Jesus is hungry, it tells us here. Jesus is in an uninhabitable place. Jesus is weary. And Satan comes to him. And these really can be said that these are the very first words of Jesus as he begins his public ministry. Let's look at what he says, dear ones. It is written. It is written. Do we know what is written? Why is he able to turn to Deuteronomy and quote? We say, well, he is God. You and I who claim Jesus Christ must be able to say, it is written. Because remember what Paul tells us to do. Arm yourself with the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Arm yourself. Tell Satan, it is written. Because he's going to show us a means, a way in which we can show ourselves quickly to be accepted as he goes on here. Takes him, the devil takes him up into a holy city. He takes him now, transports him to Jerusalem. This is the devil. The Spirit drove him into the wilderness. The devil takes him to Jerusalem. And he puts him on a pinnacle there, and he tells him, if thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down. Again, if you're the Son of God, tempting him. If you're the Son of God, trying to get Jesus to go outside of the will of the Father. He's showing him a way. Look what you can do. Throw yourself down. The people are down there. The morning sacrifices have already taken place. The people are there. They're going to see you. How quickly are they ready to accept and to have a king? They're going to crown you instantly. And guess what? There's no cross. There's no cross. He tells them here, the angels, he will give his angels charge concerning thee, because it is written. Now, Satan is going to take the word into his own mouth. And brothers and sisters, when Satan uses the word of God, it's always meant to deceive. Always meant for me to believe something different, to take it out of its context, to point to this and point to that, to use it as arguments and points in which I dishonor him who gave it. He gave it as a way of life. He gave it as a means through which I could live a life of holiness and purity, of love. Satan misuses it. Satan now says, okay, you're going to use the word? I know the word too. It is written, and he quotes, but he doesn't quote everything. Because in Psalms 91 it says, for he shall give his angels charge over thee, and he leaves out to keep thee in all thy ways. He keeps us. God will give his angels charge to watch over us, to keep us in the ways that he has given us. In everything. Don't ever doubt it. He will keep us in all of his ways. You see, he takes that out. And it sounds, this is the word. And so we tempt, and Jesus responds. It is written again. Comes back. Do not, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. Dear ones, do we do things because we think we are protected? Do we do things to show that we are Christians? Well, it tells us here we're tempting God. What we do when we are in obedience to Him, we are in His way, and He will give His angels charge to watch over us. That's a promise. That's not an iffy statement. It's a promise that was given to us. Does the devil stop? He transports him again to an exceeding high mountain. I think in Luke it tells us like in a moment, like in a twinkling of an eye, he takes him now to a high mountain. And he shows him everything. Not only Rome, but he shows him everything. He shows him the kingdoms of the world. Those are his. Jesus didn't, when he says here, he showed him the kingdoms of the world and the glory of them. All these things will I give thee. Are they his to give? Jesus didn't dispute it. He didn't say those kingdoms aren't yours. The glory of those kingdoms I will give you. Again, no cross. No cross. All you have to do is bend the knee to me. I gave Alexander the world. I gave Caesar the world. Look how much greater you are than Alexander and Caesar. You're the Son of God. If you are the Son of God, I'm going to give you everything. All you have to do is just bend your knee. There was, we learned at a very young age, hymns in the blue books. Temptations lose their power when thou art nigh. I need thee. Oh, I need thee. Every hour I need thee. Those are songs that we sang from the earliest that our memory goes back to our existence. For those of us who were blessed and fortunate to grow up in a church where the Lord Jesus is praised and spoken of. I need thee. Oh, I need thee. Every hour I need thee. Are those words forgotten in our thoughts and in our processes, in our lives today? This is what he did to Eve. She saw that it was good. She saw that the fruit was good. It's all of these temptations are that which John speaks of, the lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh and the pride of life. All of that is being given to him right here, right now. And it's all offered to Eve. You shall be as gods. Power. Wanting what Satan wants. Worship me. A man who wants power wants what? Wants to be worshipped. A man who is proud wants to be worshipped, wants to be looked at, exalted, spoken of. And that's exactly what he presented to Eve. Did God say, knowing very well what he said, Eve knew very well what he said, but you see what she did? She did what you and I have done when the fiery darts have gone through our armor. Not through our armor. We laid it aside. She left out, it is written, or it was said. It wasn't written then, but it was said. God said this and this. No, you see what we do with the lust of our eyes and our lusts and our desires, we look upon something. and we see it's good. And you know what the loneliest time for a man is? When that which he sees is so good, and that which he wants so bad, and that which he desires and lusts for and fantasizes of and dreams about and creates in his mind something that is out of this world, extraordinarily good, he gets it. It's the loneliest moment of his life because it's empty. There's nothing there. How do you impress that upon a young man as he goes through his life? Brothers and sisters, how do we impress that upon a young man and try to teach him these things if we ourselves are laying down the armor of God and allowing materialism to rule the day, to rule who we are, allowing petty arguments to create divisions and strife in the church? And then we marvel, why aren't more answering? We speak of Jesus. Yes. But dear ones, we are called to far more than we're called to live. Live Jesus. But those things somehow get lost on us as we see that the fruit is good. We see that the angels are there to protect me. I can venture out. I'm strong enough to enter into this or in this. I'm strong enough. In their hands they shall bear thee up, lest at any time thou dash thy foot against the stone. God will keep me, right? He knows my heart. He knows my heart as I lay down his shield. As I've put the word, the sword, in its sheath. In other words, close the word. So lost upon me is even the ability to say it is written. You see, dear ones, Satan was trying to take and get Jesus to use his sonship. If thou be the Son of God, use that to bypass the responsibility that you are given as you have come into this world, Jesus Christ, as you've come into this world to bring you and me into a relationship with God that outside of Christ we can never have. And dear ones, he wants you and he wants me to bypass our responsibilities that we have as children of the Most High God, as sons and daughters of a living God. Bypass your responsibility. Take on the materialism. You have a righteous indignation. You have a means. You have a right to what you're saying and doing. How dare someone treat you like that? How dare they count you as nothing? Shame on them as we try to shame them. And so on. We're bypassing our responsibility that we have to live a life that is holy and pleasing unto God. Because it is through that responsibility that we can show then we can show the way . But it is the way. The Christianity, much of Christianity doesn't even want to ever even mention. It's the way of the cross. You might say, well, why are you saying much of Christianity doesn't want to say that? Because even we don't want the cross. And what I mean by that is those of us who believe in the Scripture, who believe in the inerrant Word of God, we don't want the cross. And that is why we have so much trouble in our own lives. Troubles in relationships, troubles in various things, because we don't want the cross. I don't want to die to myself. I don't want to die to the pleasures that I have dreamed in my mind are so good and are so grand, and they are lasting, only to be found lowly, destitute, craving, needing more. More and more. The devil will never say, it's enough. Now you've tried it. Now you know you're done. Move on. What a myth that is. What a myth it is to say to a young man, go ahead and live how you want to live so you can get out of your system. Get what out of system? Sin? How are you going to get sin out of your system? Only one way. The cross. It's only one way. It's the cross. It is the only means through which I can overcome my will and say, Lord, thy will be done. It is the only way. And it's the way that I don't want. And this is the way that Satan is offering to Jesus. Bypass the cross. You will be crowned. You will be loved. You will be adored. Do we want the good rapport from men? Do we want to be praised? Do we want to be adored? Look what Satan is offering: the entire kingdom, everything. The only problem is there's nothing in that kingdom. Yes, it's his. It was all given to him by Adam, because it was all Adam's. And Adam, through his fall, gave it to Satan. And Satan is now the prince of the air. And he is the one who is offering all these things that are worthless unto us. And in our minds, we fantasize how great it is. What is our purpose, even, brothers and sisters, when we go to work? What is our purpose? What is our purpose with that, when God, who gives us the very health that we have in order to be able to go to work, because we have to keep in mind there are those who were born who have no means to go to work. But no, we have the means. Is the means then to be able to help the one who cannot? It was just recent. I can't even remember how long ago it was. We just heard brother was saying about how we need to just keep giving. What does that mean? That means you have love. That means I have love. I cannot exhaust. Love can never be exhausted. So if I go to work for me, I've already transgressed. Yeah, this can be taken. This is, come on, what are you talking about here? When we work for ourselves and forget the needs of others, we are sinning. Because Jesus Christ himself tells us that he will say, I was hungry. You didn't give me anything to eat. I was naked. You didn't give me anything to put on my back. I was thirsty. You gave me no water. You see, sin doesn't allow us to see the needs of anyone but ourselves. Sin doesn't allow me to be able to come together in my mind and cast out the notion that I've worked so hard for this. It was my brightness, my ability, my means in which I was able to do what I did. Now, as the rich man said, knock down the barns, go, build bigger ones, enjoy life. Kick back, relax. That's Satan's ways. Don't think he doesn't come to us in those means. The question is, do we say, are we alert? Is our Bible closed, or is it open unto us so that we quickly would say, it is written? Or have we forgotten the written word of God? Temptations lose their power when thou art nigh. I need thee every hour. Do we want him every hour or only in the moments when I've been diagnosed with a heart condition, when I've been diagnosed with cancer, when I've been diagnosed with what I know is already a very brief life, is going to be very much briefer? Then do I cry, my God, my God? Paul lived a life in full acknowledgement of the power of God that rested upon him, and he wanted to be united with his Savior. And so, dear ones, it is my prayer that after hearing the message this morning, after reading this, what Jesus spoke, not one time, not two times, but three times, in all three forms of temptations, he used the word, "It is written." How often do we use that? How often, you know, dear ones, if I'm tempted and if I look and say, "It is written," I'm going to stop. I'm going to stop. My fury, my anger, my lust, it has to stop. Because it is written. Now, if I believe the one who wrote it and my love is for him, it's going to quench that desire. It is written. Don't allow my dear brothers and sisters, my dear friends, my young man, my young lady. It's about allowing yourself to enter into things and bypass "it is written" that gets us in trouble. But when we know what is written and we want to live what is written, God, all-powerful, empowers us, makes us perfect, makes us holy. Can we, dear ones, with a completely open look to Christ, partake in anger, maliciousness, jealousies, rivalries, materialism, pride, lusts? Can we look at Jesus and do those things? Can we see him upon the cross where he was tempted once again by Satan, "If thou be the Son of God"? And he chose to stay there. He took that leap, not where Satan told him to take it. No, he took that leap onto the cross for you and for me. We will overcome all those desires, all those wants, all those things will be overcome when I have Jesus every hour, when I realize my need of him every hour. The temptations lose their power. Now, brothers and sisters, I know that you have felt that. I have felt it. But I also know, as was mentioned in the prayer last night, that we have also felt it. And it doesn't have to be in the way I acted towards you. It could be in the way I thought towards you. And only God knows that, and I know that. But am I not going to be judged then? I might have showed you, I might have displayed a good work. I might have displayed it, but God knows my heart. We got to keep our hearts. That's where all our trouble begins. And that is what the enemy is shooting for. So may God be with us, dear ones, in those moments. Let's call upon him. When we are tempted, when we are tried, when we are coaxed, prodded, ridiculed, do this. You're going to be accepted. Young man, young lady, everyone wants to be accepted. Don't do that, which is outside of the will of God, to be accepted by a mere man. You're young. You don't understand that now. But you will understand that it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter what someone else now thinks because I'm serving Jesus Christ. It doesn't matter if he thinks I'm a loner or if I have no friends because no one wants to be around me, and so on and so forth. Jesus gives peace and joy because it's his to give. He gives it to all of us who serve him, who love him, who want him every hour. And the temptations lose their power. Amen.
The Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted. Thank God he had the Spirit. The Bible says that the sword of the Spirit is part of the armament. The sword is the Spirit, which is the Word of God. He used that Word of God against the fiery temptations of the devil. And so thank God that we have this Spirit as well, and access to that and to the Word of God. Thanks be to God for that. And then that just simply gives us comfort, because greater is he that is within us than he that is in the world. So whatever it is that Satan would throw our way, we know that greater is he that is within us than he that is in the world. We have the Spirit abiding within us. We have his holy word. That's greater than what Satan would bring our way. And then when we come and live, when we live that way and come to the end of our lives, may it be as we read that as Jesus rose from the waters when he was baptized, there came a voice out of heaven saying, "This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased." And may that be said of us likewise when we come to the end of our days. Amen.